If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid, we welcome you to hour number three, our third and final here on TEL. He is German Airy. I am Ben Stevens. A second hour dedicated to the Early Line previews, the show living up to its billing of all six NFL playoff matchups during Super Wild Card Weekend. And it's still the Early Line, at least to start here in this opening half hour of our third and final. A preview of the college football playoff semifinals, which begin once again on Thursday night in Miami, Joe's neck of the woods. Boots on the ground for the Orange Bowl between Penn State and Notre Dame. And Friday evening in the Lone Star State, it's the in-state team and the Longhorns of Texas taking on the Buckeyes of Ohio State. The Early Line preview and breakdown of both of our two CFP semis this upcoming week. We'll also talk some NBA action, some hardwood handicaps around college basketball, and later on in the hour, John Rothstein joins us to break down what is a lovely Tuesday night slate in the month of January with conference action all over the country, Joe.
Yeah, and I think shaping up to be one heck of a finale and crowning of a national championship here in college football, Ben. These two games, yeah, I'm looking very, very forward to here. But keeping in mind, the chalk has reigned in this year's college football playoffs. Been all about the chalk here, Ben. We'll see if that changes.
Only one dog has even covered a number. That was Arizona State in double overtime of that first quarterfinal on New Year's Day in the Peach Bowl against Texas. But no dogs outright. That's 1-7. Against the spread, by the way, in our eight first matchups that we have seen in the first ever 12-team college football playoff. Might some dogs be barking during the opening round of the NFL postseason? And what might it mean for the conference championship races in both the AFC and the NFC to decide a Super Bowl champion during the 2024 NFL season? It was our question to you, the AFC or the NFC? Which one is more compelling? We find out together and fade the public. At SportsGrid on Twitter, entering the playoffs, which conference race is more intriguing? The NFC or the AFC? Your two options available. And most of the public, nearly 55% of the votes, backing the NFC, a little bit more intrigue in that side of the NFL than the AFC. Joe, I agreed with the public. Which way did you vote?
No, I do not. I agree. I think the most intriguing situation is coming out of the AFC. You actually have a team for the first time in a trillion years that could go 3-for-3 in Super Bowls. You've got a Chiefs team here who a lot of people thought would take a step back this year, and yet they rattle off a 15-2 regular season, and they have, again, the same old foes have to go at them, Baltimore or Buffalo. Will either of those two teams be able to get past the reigning champs, the Kansas City Chiefs? If they can't, Ben, then there is no bigger story than the Chiefs going for number three here. I think the AFC provides way more drama leading up to the big game. And then if it's Kansas City left standing, what's the bigger storyline come Super Bowl Sunday? There is no bigger storyline than Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs once again sitting on top of the world and possibly doing something we haven't seen for a while here in the NFL.
Yep, that is very, very true, Joe. I would agree, because that is the story in the AFC. It is that tier of three that really has represented itself throughout the entirety of this season in some form or fashion or order. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs, the Bills, the Ravens. There were times where Baltimore had the second best price ahead of Buffalo. There were times the Bills were the favorites to win the AFC championship, even in front of their playoff nemesis, that being Kansas City. But I think one of the reasons maybe the public is fading that idea, although it is pretty close, is because it is the same teams. It is that familiarity. But with that, it can be a very compelling story as well, because the Chiefs have the benefit of the doubt. The Chiefs have the postseason pedigree. The Chiefs have the playoff and Super Bowl success. 6 years with Patrick Mahomes as the starting quarterback. This is year number seven. All six seasons, the Chiefs have played in the AFC Championship game. Four of those six, a Super Bowl appearance. Three of those four, a Lombardi Trophy. And unlike last year, where does the AFC title run through this season? That would be Arrowhead, where it was the first 5 years. The Chiefs proved they could win at home in KC Mo, and then last year proved they could go on the road even when they were not expected to as an underdog and beat both Buffalo and Baltimore. It is a time for the Bills and the Ravens, likewise, Joe, to prove things they have not so far and turn around the narrative of lack of playoff success. Buffalo has now won the AFC East for a fifth straight season. In the previous four, they have been bounced by the Chiefs three of the 4 years. They have been bounced in the divisional round each of the last three. They have yet to play in a Super Bowl with Josh Allen as a starting quarterback and an AFC East winning quarterback. Lamar Jackson, despite being the one seed each last season and way back in 2019, each of the 2 years when he has individually won the NFL MVP award, they are just 2-4, that being the Ravens in terms of their overall playoff record. You can see how closely tied these three teams are at the top. The three top seeds, the three best prices, separated by less than $1.50 to win the AFC championship. But what does stand out, Joe, about the NFC is the perceived idea it is up in the air. And really that starts during wild card weekend. All three of the games feature a spread of 4.5 or fewer. In fact, the Rams as a home team are an underdog, but just getting 1.5 against the Vikings. The Bucs just a flat field goal favorite against the Commanders. The largest spread is Philadelphia as a 4.5-point home favorite against Green Bay. If it is a little bit tighter, it's expected to be more competitive, and thus, Joe, maybe some upsets abound in the NFC side of things.
Yeah, and listen, there is no doubt there is some intrigue here in the NFC because I also think it's much more wide open in the NFC than the AFC, to your point, Ben. And yes, yeah, if there is a dark horse coming from to win a championship, it's probably not coming from the AFC. It's going to be coming from the NFC. So could the Rams or the Bucks make a run at this? Or the Lions are just too easy to be chalky here. Could anybody else on that list actually overtake them? From a betting perspective, very intriguing here. From a overall narrative, my goodness, yeah, what does it say about the state of the NFL if one team can be that dominant over this stretch? Oh, wait a minute. The Patriots did that. Did Tom Brady? Oh, yeah, that's right. Never mind, Ben. It happens every decade, apparently.
Yeah, it is really what we are going to see still in Kansas City. Joe, I still find it unlikely, at least at this stage, I would say not worth a bet or a wager on KC not winning the AFC. Until I see the Bills or the Ravens change it, I don't think there is actually value on either of their prices. The NFC is where you can find it, but I do really think, despite the Vikings having a sensational season, the Packers having a great season, the value is really with the Bucs and the Rams, in my estimation. but I still expect it to be the Lions and the Eagles, 1-2 in the NFC Championship game in just a few weeks. All right, from the NFL ranks to the college football playoff semifinal round. That's next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line, it is a Tuesday, which now means we are just 48 hours from game day once again in the college football playoff. On a Thursday night in South Florida, it is the Orange Bowl between the 6-seed Penn State and the 7-seed Notre Dame in the college football playoff semifinal, the first of our two matchups that will decide a national championship game, now just 13 days away, 2 weeks from last night. We look at the numbers here on the Early Line and what we can expect for Thursday night in Miami at the Orange Bowl. Where it stands right now between the Irish and the Nittany Lions is a market that is working to Notre Dame. This basically opened at a pick'em, which is basically where Notre Dame's last matchup in the Sugar Bowl against Georgia closed. It is now 2.5 points in favor of the Irish, -137 on the money line. A total that opened at 46.5 has actually dropped by a full point to 45 and a hook. A defensive struggle, a low-scoring affair expected in Miami. So, Joe, as we look at this number and we see Notre Dame laying just 2.5 points, how close and competitive do you anticipate the Orange Bowl is going to be?
Well, it's certainly the market thinks it's going to be competitive, and it should be, because I think these are two of the best defenses in the country going toe to toe with one another. I do believe Penn State has had the easiest path to get to this point, as they won and covered, Ben, as really big favorites in both games. You know, SMU, couple of pick sixes, 38-10. Then, of course, they did the same thing with Boise State. They ended up getting a late score there for those that laid that number with them. So, listen, it's been, I'd rather be lucky than good sometimes. And Penn State got the luck of the draw there. But they also let Boise State hang around in that game for much longer than they should have. Drew Aller only had 13 completions. They were outgained in that game. So if you play like that against Notre Dame, that's not going to turn out all that well. But this is another one, Ben, when I agree with the original market movement. This opened up 46.5, 47. It's been bet down to 45, 45.5, and I agree with it. Jeremiah Love still banged up, 6 carries, 19 yards here. I do not see Notre Dame or Penn State, for that matter, having all sorts of monster games offensively against these two defenses. I think both coaches are going to want to establish the run, and the one who can win in the trenches is going to win the game. Ultimately, though, I think we don't even sniff 45 points in this game, Ben. I think it's a dead under between these two teams.
Could it look very similar to what we saw in the Sugar Bowl between the Fighting Irish and the Bulldogs? Very likely. That's what the odds are expecting right now. Penn State has scored 31-plus points in each of its two college football playoff games, 31 against Boise, 38, of course, in their matchup against SMU. Part of that, though, two pick sixes in the opening half. Penn State in those first two games, Joe, you mentioned the path. I bet the Nittany Lions at a -172, rather juicy, chalky number, to get to the semifinal. But it still made sense to me because it was better than a money line parlay would have been for the Nittany Lions as an 8.5-point favorite against the Mustangs and an 11.5-point favorite against the Broncos. Why? Penn State as a favorite, as good as you will find in college football. Since the start of the 2022 college football season, 5 FBS programs have won double-digit games each and every season. Penn State, Oregon, Ohio State, Georgia, and actually Ohio. Shout out the Bobcats and what Tim Albin had done there with the Bobcats team. Now I believe the head coach at Charlotte. Regardless of those programs, Joe, to win double-digit games since 2022, you have to obviously beat the teams you are expected to. And Penn State, since the start of 2022, as a favorite in 35 of 41 total games, elite. 34-1 straight up, 25-9-1 against the spread. Both the best win and cover percentage as a favorite among power conference programs. But what about the other six games booked as a dog? Yeah. Now that's where things get dicey for James Franklin and company. It's only a 2.5-point spread. When it first opened, it was basically a pick'em. But Penn State is still not expected to win outright. And when they have been booked as an underdog in the last 3 years, they are 0-6 straight up and 1-5 against the spread. Covering as a 15.5-point underdog the only time against the Buckeyes in 2022, but still lost that game by double digits. So, Joe, for me, until I see that change, it's rather simple. I believe in this Notre Dame team. I have a Fighting Irish ticket to the national championship. I bet Notre Dame on the money line as soon as this line opened up around a minus 115 number.
Yeah, well, listen, if that's the case, you're going to bet them to win this game. You might as well bet them to win it all, too, while you still can at, what, 3-1, Ben, somewhere along those lines? I would go all in. If I'm on Notre Dame, I'm going all in here. I do think this is a great live betting game as well, because I do think you're going to be able to get probably a better number on Notre Dame or Penn State if this game unfolds the way I think it will. To me, the total is what happens when it's nothing going into the second quarter or 3-0, Ben, with about 7 minutes to play. Where is that total going to be? It's going to be in the mid-30s here, and I think a middling opportunity certainly will present itself here.
All four games for either of these two teams, Marcus Freeman's Irish, James Franklin's Nittany Lions, have stayed under so far in the college football playoff. Penn State in both against SMU and Boise State, and of course for Notre Dame in their two matchups against Indiana and Georgia. Key matchup for me, Joe, in terms of the actual X's and O's, the two-headed monster in the backfield for Penn State. Nick Singleton. Yep. Catron Allen, who both have been elite really since the end of the Big Ten championship game against a Notre Dame rush defense that allowed 66 yards to Georgia, 63 yards against Indiana. That will turn the tide in this game. If the Nittany Lions can be prolific like they have been in their last three, it might start to favor Penn State. Just not sure it happens against Al Golden's Notre Dame defense. The Cotton Bowl on a Friday night. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are just 2 days away from our doubleheader in the college football playoff semifinal. First game on Thursday in the Orange Bowl between Notre Dame and Penn State. Our next game, our final CFP semi on a Friday night in the heart of Texas. Dallas, the site of the Cotton Bowl, not the actual Cotton Bowl Stadium, but that being AT&T Stadium, Jerry World, of course, the home of the Cowboys. For the in-state team in Texas, taking on the national championship favorites, entering the Final Four, that would be Ohio State. The Buckeyes, a 5.5-point favorite against the Longhorns for Friday night in the Cotton Bowl. The total stands at 53.5. And Joe, to me, the story of this game as we begin our breakdown is the market movement we have seen. Projected hypothetical numbers. If Ohio State won the Rose Bowl and Texas outlasted Arizona State in the Peach Bowl, the Buckeyes would be an ever so slight favorite against the Longhorns. 1.5, a couple of cents on the money line. Ohio State overwhelmingly impressive against Oregon in the Rose Bowl. Texas struggled and escaped into overtimes against ASU as a 2-touchdown favorite. So the perceived notion, maybe Texas not as good as we thought. And, this Ohio State team is the team we expected all year to win a national championship. Line opened up for the Cotton Bowl at 4.5 after those two results on New Year's Day, and then quickly got bet up to 5.5. Joe, we love the FanDuel Sportsbook. It is the sponsor of this show. But in other spots, This line is even closer to a touchdown. Is the spread too large, or does it feel fitting for Friday night at the Cotton Bowl?
I had said, watching that Ohio State mauling of Oregon, that no matter what, the value was going to be on Texas, because recency bias was going to creep in. We were going to see Texas, who had to go to overtime there to beat Arizona State, and yet we watched Ohio State make the number one team in the country look like they didn't even belong in the same field. So we all knew Ohio State was going to get a ton of public love in this one. So is the value in Texas? Yes. Does that mean they're going to cover this number? Absolutely not. It has absolutely nothing to do with it. I do think the best team is Ohio State. I have a ticket on Ohio State to win everything here. And that includes them beating Texas here, Ben. I don't see Texas going toe-to-toe with how this Ohio State team is rolling right now. And the other problem I have, too, here,
yeah,
or my only concern with Ohio State, is that this team put so much energy and effort to get even with Oregon, that that was the game they wanted, Ben, that they looked past Michigan to get because they thought they were going to get it in the Big Ten championship, and then they fell flat there, and then they had to wait for the playoffs in order to exact that revenge, and they did in a big way. There is no history here between Texas and Ohio State. Two very rich historic programs, but not against one another necessarily here. And my only fear is that maybe Ohio State left it all out for Oregon, which will show up early in this game. But I do think that defense and offensively, the best team remaining is Ohio State, and I do think they will eventually get it done here, not just in this game, but in the national championship game.
Joe, I hear that point, exacting revenge, a revenge tour against Oregon in the Rose Bowl, a game we expected to be the Big Ten championship. But Ohio State should never, although it seems as though they might, look over the game, which they have lost four consecutive times to Michigan. I do believe once they knew they were drawing Oregon in the Rose Bowl, it was about proving that Ohio State stands atop the mountain in college football. And like you, way back in early October, before even the initial matchup against the Ducks, I bet Ohio State to win a national championship. Didn't even get the best of the number at plus 290, but it is now minus 120. The Buckeyes, the odds-on favorites to win a college football playoff national title. Texas entered the quarterfinal round as that national championship favorite, just so you know. The Longhorns have not been a dog all season long. Neither has Ohio State, and the Buckeyes, of course, have covered impressively so in each of their first two games in the college football playoff. They are plus 45, that being Ryan Day's Buckeyes, in their point differential in their first two matchups. That's an average margin of victory of 22.5 points per game. Joe, like you, I think this could close Texas as a 6.5 point dog, and there would be value on the Longhorns. But ultimately, I think Ohio State wins the Cotton Bowl and the national championship. More on the Early Line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, enough of the football here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Time to get you set for a night of hardwood action, both around the association and a quick look at college basketball with John Rothstein joining the show up next. We're using this too liberally, but I'll let it slide. Finals preview, Nuggets and the Celtics. Not everything can be a finals preview, although, actually both of these teams and their pedigree, I'll take it back, Joe Friezo. Tonight at altitude in the Mile High City, the Nuggets a 6-point home dog currently against the Boston Celtics. Total on the rise, Joe, from what that graphic is showing earlier on this Tuesday morning. 235 and a hook is now 237. What do you expect for, I guess, a finals preview potentially tonight in Denver?
Yeah, so here's what I would do. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Take the Celtics in the first half. not because the Celtics are so great in the first half, or though they have been, but because Denver is the worst first half team in the NBA for whatever reason, and it drives Mike Malone, their head coach, absolutely bonkers. They play from behind. They have to. It's almost as if this team is like, all right, now we got to kick it up. Let's go. So when they come out in the second half, they're tremendous, but they always start slow. Now you've got a Celtics team that blew a lead in that game against OKC there in that fourth quarter, Ben. Now Boston comes in here to Denver. I expect them to come out hot. I expect them to come out swinging. And once again, I expect Denver at some point in the second half is going to flip a switch, and it's going to be a different team. But if it ain't broke, I ain't fixing it. Boston early in the first half for me in this one.
Yeah, I think it's a really good look, Joe. It is really indicative to see this spread at 6 in my estimation. Boston's last game in Oklahoma City on Sunday was really a true finals preview. Boston, the reigning NBA champs, the NBA championship favorites at this moment against the best team, and by a pretty good margin right now in the Western Conference in OKC. Those, the two best prices to win an NBA championship. In fact, those, the only two in triple digits. Boston at 2-1, the Thunder at plus 750. You got to go all the way to 10-1 price on the Knicks to even see that third best number. Denver, 16-1, as we know, who won an NBA championship, a Larry O'Brien trophy, now two seasons ago. The Nuggets as an underdog, 6-3 ATS this year, 5 outright victories. Boston booked as a favorite in 34 of 36 games this year. The C's not all that great covering numbers, 14-19-1 against the spread. Now we continue to go around the NBA slate on this Tuesday. A ton of games to pique your interest, including this one in Dallas. The Mavs, very shorthanded. No Luka Doncic. They've lost 5 straight. They are 1-5 without Luka. We got word yesterday that Kyrie Irving is going to miss at least a week, if not multiple weeks as well. So the Lakers, now a full 7-point favorite on the road in Dallas against the Mavs. Total stands at 219. Joe, what's your play?
Yeah, I mean, losers of 5 straight. This is, if they lose again tonight, this will be their longest losing streak in just about 5 years here, Ben. Not good at all. I mean, 1-5 since Doncic went down, and that was, what, Christmas Day with the calf strain now? Correct. Now they've lost Kyrie, and that's a lot to overcome, man. Now they got the second night of a back-to-back, bringing in a rested Lakers team that has had won, what, 7 of 9 before Sunday's loss against Houston? So, to me, this is until reinforcements get back, and that being at least Kyrie and or Doncic, I don't know how we're backing Dallas in this spot here. It feels like a good spot to take the Lakers and maybe look at the under.
And for those Mavs as well, in these 5 consecutive losses, the last 4 as a dog, not even a cover in that stretch. You mentioned the Lakers. They did lose to Houston, but did cover over the weekend as a 4.5-point dog, 119-115 the final. So the Lakers have still won 7 of their last 10. And in this 10-game stretch, the Lakers have covered the number 9 times, including twice as a favorite, often an underdog here as of late, now laying 7 points against this shorthanded Dallas team. But again, a lot to pay attention to. The Mavs on the second leg of a back-to-back. Speaking of those Rockets, Houston's second-best mark right now in the NBA's Western Conference. They're a 12-point favorite tonight in D.C. The Suns hoping to build up some wins. 4.5-point favorite against the Hornets tonight in Charlotte. Minnesota's second leg of a back-to-back, but having to change destination last night at home in the Twin Cities. Today on the road in New Orleans. But the T-Wolves, Joe, booked as a 5.5-point favorite. The Pels, one of the worst teams in the NBA. A lot of action tonight, though, around the association. The Warriors, a 9-point home favorite against the Miami Heat team. who is dealing with a lot of drama, suspended Jimmy Butler, so on and so forth. Big night of college basketball on this Tuesday. This is what a Tuesday night in January looks like when conference action is underway all around the country. And in the SEC, with six of the top 10 in the AP poll released yesterday afternoon, you're going to see a lot of ranked versus ranked and a lot of top 10 tilts. How about this one in Gainesville with the number one team in the nation, Tennessee, heading to Gainesville to take on Florida. Now number eight in the country. Florida dropped its first game of the season Saturday early on the road in Lexington against Kentucky. High-scoring affair. The Cats victorious 106-100, which means of the 364 D1 men's basketball programs, there is only one undefeated team left. It is those Vols, the number one team in the country, and a perfect 14-0. And yet, Joe, Tennessee catching points tonight. They are near the swamp. Total 148.5. What do you expect for this top 10 tilt in Gainesville?
Well, you like the spot for Florida at home, right? Coming off of that loss that they looked pretty good early against Kentucky, but unfortunately fell apart in the second half and gave away way too many points. But they're back home now, having that taste of defeat, no longer undefeated. The only undefeated team that remains in college basketball is Tennessee, who now the Gators get to return a favor. I do think the styles make fights here. This matchup actually is one of the very few Tennessee will have in which a team can compete with them on the boards. And that's what Florida can do here. Not to mention they have the shooting on the perimeter to be able to take advantage here of this Tennessee team. Feels like Florida, and the reason they're a what? Two and a half point favorite here. I took Florida on the money line, Ben. I like them to bounce back here. Tennessee is not going to run the table and go undefeated. I think this is a great matchup for Florida, one that'll get them back on track. And I do think as long as they handle business on the boards and don't give Tennessee extra shots and possessions, I think Florida wins this game.
Yeah, you know what's really interesting, Joe? There are a lot of times in college sports where a line feels very indicative, a very strong number. That is the Gators here. Most people would say number one team in the country, the only undefeated side left. They should be even a slight favorite, albeit on the road in a conference matchup. Not here against the Gators. 148.5, an intriguing total as well. Tennessee, seven power conference foes this year, under in six of seven. But we just saw Florida in its SEC opener against Kentucky on Saturday, playing a game that featured 206 total points. We will have plenty more around this college basketball conversation with John Rothstein up next. So, Joe Ranieri, we appreciate the time as always. Great work on the early line. I think we'll talk on Friday. Until then, my friend.
I got a tea time, so I'll see you then, Ben. Yeah, I promise.
Get out there. Yeah. I know it's cold today in Florida. It's like 62 degrees. Go have fun. John Rothstein joins us up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is just a Tuesday in early January, but this is why we adore college basketball. And this is why we tell you, don't just wait until March when you see the slate that we have on this Tuesday night as conference play is truly picked up all around the country in college hoops. So to set the table, who better? The answer is none than John Rothstein, live right here on this Tuesday on the early line, joining us on behalf of FanDuel, of course, doing great work with CBS Sports as well. John, as always, we thank you for being here on what is going to be a wonderful Tuesday in college hoops.
Thanks, Ben. Great to be with you and a great day to be alive.
It is indeed. John, let's start with a top 10 tilt tonight in Gainesville. Pretty much each and every game in the SEC throughout the conference schedule this year in college hoops, now in 2025, has the potential to be a marquee matchup, including a top 10 tilt between number 8 Florida now and the top team in the land, that is number 1 Tennessee. Florida lost on Saturday, early on Saturday, in Lexington against Kentucky. First loss this year for the Gators. Oklahoma went down this weekend as well, which means, John, only one undefeated team left in Division I men's college basketball. That would be the Vols at a perfect 14-0. And yet you see Tennessee catching points tonight on the road in Florida, a 3.5-point spread. Let's talk about this game just in terms of what we are going to see. What quality of basketball, John, do you expect tonight in Gainesville between Florida and Tennessee?
High-level quality basketball, and I think one of the major takeaways that I had from Saturday's game at Rupp Arena between Kentucky and Florida was, even though Kentucky was fortunate enough to win the game in what was a classic early season league game in college basketball, Florida proved how good it is. If you're good enough to go on the road and score 100 points at Rupp Arena, you have the chops to be a major, major player on the neutral court in the NCAA tournament. And the Gators perimeter, Walter Clayton Jr., Will Richard, Elijah Martin, combining for over 60 points on Saturday against Kentucky. They're the real deal, and they will be matched up with Tennessee's perimeter troika of Zakai Ziegler, Chaz Lanier, and I believe the early favorite for National Defensive Player of the Year in Jemai Meshack. Sounds delicious, doesn't it, Ben?
Oh, it sounds delicious on an early Tuesday night in January. That is for sure. So, John, we have talked about this theme all season long now. The state of the SEC, a powerhouse conference, the best conference in the country in college basketball. Six teams ranked in the AP top 10. Seven as of yesterday in the net top 15 and in the AP top 15 in that poll as well. Tennessee is the top team in the country, John, number one, and yet not the favorites to win the SEC. That's the Auburn Tigers at a very short price of plus 105. But you see the numbers there to win the conference crown in the regular season. Just how many schools in the Southeastern Conference can win this conference championship?
Well, I think right now you have to look at five or six: Tennessee, Auburn, Alabama, Kentucky, Florida. And I think Buzz Williams' team is a Final Four dark horse. You know, I had the fortunate assignment in December to be on the call for when Texas A&M played Purdue in Indianapolis. And Texas A&M's physicality bothered Purdue from tip to finish in that game. It was a tremendous win for the Aggies. And, you know, I value returning personnel in college basketball more than anything else. Texas A&M returned over 75% of its scoring from last year's team that went to the NCAA tournament, beat Nebraska, and lost to Houston in overtime in the second round of the NCAA tournament. The Aggies are a bona fide Final Four dark horse, but here's the thing you got to look at, Ben. There are teams that are going to be seeded 4, 5, 6 in the SEC tournament that still are going to be picked by many people to go to an Elite Eight or a Final Four. That's how good the SEC is this year.
There is no doubt about that. You see the price on the Auburn Tigers, plus 105 to win the SEC crown, and also the shortest number to win a national championship as well at plus 550. Auburn on the road tonight in Austin as a double-digit favorite against Texas. As we look at Bruce Pearl's Tigers, John, what is the best thing Auburn does?
There's so many different people that can be the assassin. Do they have Jahni Broome, who's obviously the favorite right now to be the National Player of the Year, without question? But Auburn's strength is in its numbers. Auburn's strength is in its ability to wear the opponent down over the course of a game. And there's also one thing, and I was talking to Auburn staff about this earlier in the week, that isn't really getting a lot of attention, and that's the positional size that Auburn has on the perimeter. Bruce Pearl has shifted Denver Jones, who started his career at Florida International, over to point guard. He's got great size at 6'4", and he now is alongside Miles Kelly and Chad Baker-Mazzara up front. So Auburn has the requisites to be a lethal team in terms of its positional size on the perimeter. And it also, as Bruce Pearl always has had, a potent bench. So there's a lot of different ways to skin the cat if you're the Tigers.
There is no doubt about that as well. And John, as you mentioned, it might be surprising to some that expected Cooper Flagg to win the Wooden Award this year. Jani Broome of Auburn is that odds-on favorite at minus 240. You see the numbers and you see the reasons why. It is a great Tuesday night, John, in college basketball. So many ranked teams in action. I'm going to make you do something very difficult here. Look at this list of six matchups that we put up on the marquee in highlight one. Which game has your attention the most?
Michigan and UCLA at Pauley Pavilion. This is obviously the first ever Big Ten meeting between these two storied programs. And, you know, in studying Michigan, I think Dusty May has put together a beautiful offensive basketball team. One offensively that is on par with the likes of the Gonzaga in terms of the ease in which it scores the basketball. Michigan has scored 75 or more points in eight of its last nine games. Michigan is averaging 79 points per game in its three Big Ten games. But Michigan is obviously facing a very desperate UCLA team tonight in Westwood, one that did not have Eric Daly nor William Kyle in Saturday's loss in Nebraska, where the Bruins won 4 of 28. UCLA has to get better guard play to be in a top-tier team in the Big Ten and to be a team that can go deep in the NCAA tournament. Mick Cronin had Tiger Campbell. He does not have Tiger Campbell this year. But does he have an answer good enough to beat Michigan? We'll find out tonight.
We will indeed. More of the Early Line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line, we round out these 3 hours together on a Tuesday morning. Big news around the NFL, as you can expect all week. We've got 14 teams into the NFL postseason. We have previewed each and every game, and we will continue to do so this week on the Early Line of the opening round and Super Wild Card Weekend, all six matchups that we have. But for 18 teams, it's already the offseason. It's a plan in place for the future of your franchise, whether it's a head coach or a front office. And some big news out of Tennessee within the last 15 minutes or so. The Titans are firing general manager Rand Carthen, who came over from working in the front office in San Francisco just a few years ago. In fact, Carthen only spending two seasons in Nashville as that GM for the Titans. It's been a precarious one, if I would say. Drafting Will Levis, as many thought, wasn't a great move. Now, to Tennessee's credit, Rand Carthen made that decision with the second pick of the second round and not a top five pick, which was the feeling entering the 2023 NFL draft. But Tennessee did not answer a question of who would be their franchise quarterback after Ryan Tannehill's days as a Titan came to a close. And then interesting moves this offseason. Building up offensively around the quarterback to see if Will Levis was the guy. Resoundingly, the answer to that question was no, but you paid Calvin Ridley. You paid Tony Pollard after you let Derrick Henry, a staple of that organization, walk. Regardless, it did not work for Tennessee with a first-year head coach in Brian Callahan. A 3-14 record. Not a single cover for the Titans in any of their 14 losses, which showed that when they were an underdog and not expected to win a game, they didn't. And for Tennessee this season, 2-15 against the spread. That is the worst cover team in the history of the National Football League since the merger, even 3 years prior to that, in the Super Bowl era. As unprofitable as we have seen a team in the history of the NFL. That's not a great distinction to have on the resume either. But it is always interesting when you fire a GM early on in their tenure, when that GM was the guy to hire the current head coach in place, who frankly hasn't proven his head coaching pedigree, that being Brian Callahan. Now a new GM is either going to be elevated or hired that is going to have Brian Callahan, not the guy he handpicked or selected. Interesting situation, of course, now in Nashville. Anything else that comes out this afternoon around the National Football League, we will make sure to bring you tomorrow on the early line. But as we shared, what a night on this Tuesday in college basketball. You can expect this pretty much every Tuesday night throughout the month of January, throughout February, and into early March. This is the beauty of conference action in this sport, especially in the SEC, when there are so many good teams, six of the AP top 10, seven of the AP top 15, seven teams ranked in the net top 15 as of yesterday afternoon. Don't really think that changed much either. There wasn't a ton of action that we saw on a Monday night. So then let's look at the national championship odds, where the national championship favorite is the Auburn Tigers, who hail from what conference? The SEC. Tennessee is the number one team in the country, the only undefeated school left out of 364 D1 men's teams, and they don't even have the best price. They're 10-1, tied for that third best number alongside Houston. Still a lot of hope for this Duke team that takes on Pitt tonight, as you saw in what should be a great game in ACC action, yet the Blue Devils close to a 15-point favorite at home inside Cameron Indoor. Iowa State handling Baylor over the weekend. The Cyclones, the number three team in the country. Alabama, an SEC team. Kentucky, an SEC team. Florida, an SEC team. The Gators, a big one tonight, of course, at home in Gainesville as a 3.5-point favorite, expected to hand Rick Barnes' Volunteers team their first loss of the season. Just keep an eye on UConn. Of course, they have the pedigree. Two consecutive national championships, looking for a third in a row. The first to do that since John Wooden's UCLA Bruins in the late 60s into the early 70s when UCLA won seven in a row. And UConn in the continental United States, not in Hawaii, perfect. 12-0 this year. That does it for the early line on this Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow, a Wednesday, 8 a.m. Eastern time here on The Grid.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.